Live from the palatial yet not overly ostentatious studios of CBS Sports Radio here in beautiful New York City, sitting on top of the 10th floor of 345 Hudson Street. Welcome on in to a Thursday edition of the Zach Gelb Show across all of our great local CBS Sports Radio affiliates, Sirius XM, Channel 158, and that free Odyssey app. 855-212-4CBS, number to jump on in, 855-212-4227, and you could always get at me on Instagram where I'm straight flexing, or via the good old cesspool of Twitter, at Zach Gelb. That's Z-A-C-H-G-E-L-B. And we got an action-packed show for you today, rocking and rolling all the way up until 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific. And producing this fine extravaganza is no other than Hot Take Hickey.
I don't know about that Hot Take Hickey.
We'll get back to Hickey later on in this show, because another radio program on our same network wants Hickey suspended. We will tell you why, and it's actually up to me if Hickey's getting suspended or not. I have talked to the bosses. They believe that this is in my control, and we will find out later if I will suspend Hot Take Hickey. The Masters are going on. They open up today. Victor Hovland, who I do have a bet on to win it all, is the leader, along with Jon Rahm, who I also have a bet on to win it all, and Brooks Koepka 7-under. I ended up going 4 bets, Hickey, to win it all. I did $100. I did 20 and 20, and then 30 and 30. And I ended up going Victor Hovland, Jon Rahm, Rory McIlroy, and then Colin Morikawa. So Morikawa is 3-under. He's through 16 right now. And Rory McIlroy, I don't think he got off to the best of start. Last time I checked, he was 1-over. And I'm trying to locate him right now out of the gate, and he is still 1-over. Through 14. So we'll see how that does play out. By the way, I don't know if you're aware of this, Hickey. So we were discussing this on the air on Tuesday, and then I was off yesterday because of Passover. And by the way, I had a tremendous Seder last night. Like, I'm not a huge religious person. I do believe that it's important and all that, but, you know, I'm not by the book for every single holiday. But when you serve brisket at a holiday and some matzo ball soup, I'm all game. So I wasn't here yesterday. And on Tuesday evening, I said it to Alex Myers, who is a senior golf writer for Golf Digest, I think does an incredible job covering golf, that almost every year or every major since 2019, I've been on Patrick Cantlay. And I've just bet him and bet him and bet him and bet him. And he's a top 10 golfer in the world. I think he's now up to number 4. And I always bet him as one of my 3 or 4 bets that I make for a major. So late Tuesday night, you know, I was in the tweeting mood, so I was throwing out some tweets left and right, and one of my tweets was something along the lines of what I just said: I'm not betting Patrick Cantlay this year, and Patrick, in advance, congrats on your victory. Now, within the span of no more than 5 minutes, Patrick Cantlay, and I appreciate this, I think this is a savage mood, you know, kind of move. He likes the tweet. And it's one thing if he likes a tweet, you know, maybe someone's running his account, but only 100 people he follows, and then I became 101, where he followed me. Now, I am a big fan of Patrick Cantlay. There's a reason why I've bet him in almost every major since 2019. And even though I'm not gambling with the biggest bucks in the world, when you keep on getting burned left and right by him, and he keeps on ripping out your heart, and you've been one of his biggest supporters, eventually I can't be like Hickey with all of his sports teams, and I can't just have this blind loyalty and keep on going back to the well of torture and expecting that I'm not going to get tortured. So that was Cantlay, who likes my tweet, and I would assume, Hickey, if he wins, I'm going to get trolled because he already knows of the tweet. So not that I was doing some crisis management in advance, because I think that'd be wonderful if he wins the tournament, gets his first major, his first green jacket, and the next thing you know, he's quote tweeting me. I would be down for that publicity, and I'm not going to lie about that. But I would love to get Patrick on the show one day. And I don't think, Hickey, I ruined my chances of getting Patrick on the show because he followed me. So I think he's willing to have fun with the tweet. So now I get it. He has bigger issues at hand. He has bigger fish to fry. And he's preparing for a green jacket. But I did slide into his DMs on Tuesday night after he liked the tweet and then followed me. And I just wished him luck. You know, I tried to lay the foundation, Hickey. Good luck. Green would look great on you. All the best. That's what I wrote to Patrick Cantlay. Now, let me ask you this, Hickey. I need your unbiased opinion. I need you to remove yourself from this shock jock role that you've created. Now, I was hearing DA the other day. He was comparing you like a mixture of Kid Rock, Howard Stern, and then Stetson Bennett. And I think the Stetson Bennett part was for that video that we saw of him getting arrested. And he compared you to Stetson Bennett because of your escapade walking out of the Rose Bowl. Now, to my knowledge, you didn't get arrested, correct, Amundo?
That is correct. The arrest record is clean.
You probably should have got arrested for public intoxication.
I was minding my own business.
No big deal.
I'm not bothering anybody.
No big deal. Penn State. Hey, we want some irrelevant Rose Bowl. No big deal.
Listen, I wasn't pissing in the middle of the concourse like Brewers fans.
Oh,
so.
Watch your mouth.
Please.
I had myself
under control.
You got to be careful saying a word like that on the radio. You know, if we were back in like 1936 or so. Don't be belching during this show, too. Whatever happens on a shift that means a lot to me, the 2 to 6 a.m. Eastern time weekend overnight, I guess once Mraz took that shift over after I left and then eventually did come back, he probably stained it. So I don't know where the heck that now stands, but just because you go crazy on the weekend overnight, I still have a lot of pride in that shift, and I don't want that version of Hickey to cross over and bleed over into this show. It's a totally different person, someone that I don't even recognize. But let me get your take on this. It appears, right, Patrick Cantlay, as Rory just pulled to even on the tournament through, I think, 15. It seems like Patrick Cantlay thought the tweet was funny if he liked and then followed. Do you think we have any shot to get him on the show, though?
I think so. Honestly, like, unbiased, because, again, I don't think if he was... I put myself in this situation. If I was Patrick Cantlay and I saw that tweet and it upset me, it got me frustrated, I wouldn't like it. I wouldn't follow you back. Maybe you like it out of, again, you know, maybe bookmark it for later. Again, you a Sunday evening, if you win, you're ready to troll everyone and you're saving the receipts. But to follow you, I think, is a sign of, hey, this is funny, or, hey, you know, you're a fan. Maybe not this week, but you're a fan, so I'll give you a little love.
The only reason why I was a little bit concerned is he didn't respond to my DM. I thought he would respond to my DM with how quick he was to like the tweet and follow. And then within 10 minutes, you know, probably closer to 10, I sent him a message on Twitter. I thought he would respond. But, hey, we got no response.
Hey, he's locked in.
I wish him nothing but the best, and I hope he wins the tournament. But no, you asked me before we got on the air, did I end up throwing any money on him after he likes the tweet and gives me the follow? I did not put any money on him. And so far, he wrapped up his round earlier today. He is one under. So that's where we start the show today. And by the way, I got to bring up this NBA MVP conversation. Now, usually, I don't really give a rat's ass about the MVP conversation, but this year, the NBA MVP conversation is just so compelling to me because of how many times, Hickey, it seems like someone was a lock to win this award, and then the person for most of the year that felt like he was going to win the award for the third straight time was going to be Nikola Jokic. And like last week when Joker played and Embiid didn't, there was that thought, okay, the Joker's going to win, and now he's plus 1,200. To win the NBA MVP along with Giannis Antetokounmpo. But Joel Embiid, he's running away with this thing, at least from an odds standpoint, where he's right now is at minus 1,000 if you were to place a bet this second on the NBA MVP. And Jason Tatum's in fourth with plus 2,400. But I felt like for most of the year, not saying he should win it, but I felt like for most of the year, Joker will win it. And then whenever it wasn't the feeling of Joker, it was, okay, it's going to be Joel Embiid. So this NBA MVP award, and the season is practically wrapping up and like everyone has like 2-3 games left to begin with, it's pretty much over. And there's not much that you could do now. But as you head into the home stretch and the tail end of the NBA regular season, it does seem like Joel Embiid is going to win the award. Now, here's what I'll say about it. And you can make the case the last 2 years Embiid should have won at least one. That's not taking anything away from Nikola Jokic. He's been sensational. But the biggest thing that I've realized with this NBA MVP push, Sixers fans are making a lot of noise supporting their guy, Joel Embiid, which is something you would expect. But I feel like in sports, when you're a fan of the team, you don't really push for an individual award. Most of the times, it's, all right, we have an MVP kind of candidate, probably should win the award. Let's think about winning a championship. And you look at the same city, and you look at the Philadelphia Eagles this past year, there was a case at several times throughout the season for the Eagle fan to make a big national push for Jalen Hurts to win the MVP. And I don't really ever remember that much of a push being made from the Eagles fan, because the Eagle fan for most of the year was saying Super Bowl, Super Bowl, Super Bowl. So the telling point to me from that is that the Sixer fan, and I don't blame them for this, I don't fault them for this with the way that the team has played the last 2-3 years in the postseason, the Sixers fans' championship this year is really Joel Embiid winning the NBA MVP. I don't think the Sixer fan, and I know a lot of Sixers fans, and I said this to some of my friends yesterday, and they agreed, that root for the Sixers, that are P1 Sixers fans, and they don't think they got a shot to just get to the NBA Finals. And this NBA is open this year. And if you look at the East, the three best teams in no order, and maybe it is this order, are the Bucks, Celtics, and Sixers. So it's not like inconceivable if the Sixers end up making a championship. But when you look at the way that team is constructed, and I love Embiid, but when Harden is the guy that's going to be the finisher for you, how many times have we seen in the postseason James Harden have a big moment, and then he comes up extremely small? Like, he does not hit big shots in the postseason. We've seen that whenever the Rockets would go up against the Warriors, and then even in that, the most recent memory, and this was when he was, I think, still in Houston? Yeah, and it was up against OKC, and you had a trade, and he made that big block in the opening round of that playoff series. And that was a defensive play. That wasn't even offensive driven. And OKC, that series should have never have gone to a seventh game. So the way that you look at this and the way that this continues to pan on out, Embiid is most likely going to win the MVP. If you're at minus 1,000 with very little time left in the season, I don't know how much can change. Now, I know that this is a award that it's not voted on by the public. It's voted on by people that cover the NBA. But if the odds right now are at minus 1,000 and you have Giannis at plus 1,200 and Joker, who most people thought was going to win the award for most of the years, at plus 1,200, it makes it seem as if there's been a big shift in, okay, Embiid's the guy that is going to win the award. So it got me thinking. Out of the three main players that have been in the MVP conversation, Embiid, Giannis, and then Nikola Jokic, who's the team out of that have those three players that has the best shot to win it all this year? And obviously your answer would right away go to Milwaukee, even though Middleton's been banged up and he got hurt last year and they probably would have got to the finals last year if he didn't get hurt. And we know how that series did end up playing out up against Boston. But then you look about how crowded the East could be, where there's three good teams in the Bucks, the Celtics, and then say what you want about the Sixers, they're still a good team. But in the Western Conference, this thing is wide open. And the Denver Nuggets have the best record in the Western Conference. And if the Nuggets make the finals, it would not shock me. They're my second pick to make the finals in the Western Conference. But I do think the Suns are going to the NBA Finals. I think we're once again going to get a Milwaukee Bucks, Phoenix Suns, NBA Finals. That's what I think the NBA Finals is moving towards. And when you look at it, right now I think Milwaukee is the team to beat. And I know it's easy to say when they have the best record, But you look at those three teams, Hickey, Sixers, Bucks, and then also the Nuggets. I just have so much more confidence in the Bucks than the Nuggets and Sixers, even if Giannis Antetokounmpo, who we know is not going to win the MVP, because of what they've done before, and it comes down to health as well. But I don't trust the Sixers to finish. And the Nuggets, even though they get Murray back, which is enormous because he's their finisher, even though how great Nikola Jokic is, I just lean more towards the side of the Suns, who we've seen go on big runs before, and especially in the playoffs, and now you add Kevin Durant into that fold. So how do you kind of assess this NBA MVP conversation and then the team that you have the most confidence in to get to the NBA Finals?
Team, without a doubt, I'm with you. It's the Bucks. MVP, it's a lock. MB, congratulations. You won your first one of your career. But it's like, even go back to the other night, Sixers Celtics, that's all the reason I need, even in a Philly win, as to why I have no confidence I'm going to the playoffs.
It was like, whew,
they
won.
You're up by 10 when the Celtics do not have Jaylen Brown. I know it's a regular season game. It's one game. But you're at home with Joel Embiid kind of putting the stamp on the MVP. 52 points in that game. Scored over half the points for Philly.
Yeah.
You're up by 10 in the final minute, and you're sweating it out because Doc Rivers is not a very good coach in the postseason. And they don't do a lot of the little things right. And there's really not that reliable second player outside of Embiid. You can, each and every game in the playoffs, rely on to get you consistent scoring and make, you know, big baskets. It's the same thing over and over again with Philly. They haven't beat. They got no one else around them that you can trust. No reason why this year's going to be any different than any past years where they're not even going to get out of the second round.
Yeah, I don't know how far they're going to go, but you're probably right where they do win the first round, and then the second round they'll probably lose, because it does feel as if we are destined to see Bucks Celtics in the Eastern Conference Final this year. That is the feeling that I think a lot of people have. Now, can someone surprise you? Can someone go on a run like what we saw with Atlanta a year ago? I guess, but I don't see where that's going to come from this year, because the Knicks are a good story. The Knicks aren't going to the conference finals. I know the Cavs have been a heck of a story, and Donovan Mitchell is there, but I don't see the Cavs going to the conference final. Does Miami get hot? I guess, right? If there's going to be a surprise team in the conference finals this year, and you take the Bucks, the Celtics, and the Sixers out of it, I'd probably have to lean it being Miami just because of the pedigree of that team from the past. But I'm not expecting anyone outside of the Bucks, Celtics, and Sixers to get to the Eastern Conference Final. Do you have a team, by the way, outside of those three that you feel good about, to, if you had to kind of do a little dark horse pick to get to the conference final, would it be Cleveland for you?
I'm not sure any bias. I think the Knicks.
To the conference finals?
To the conference finals?
Yeah, I don't see that.
I don't think it's that crazy. You have the Cavaliers, and if Chris Middleton's knee is not 100%, you get the Bucks in the second round. I don't think it's crazy. I think they have a better chance than the Heat or the Cavaliers.
Why?
I think the Knicks are deeper. They play good defense. They play well on both sides of the court.
Yeah,
Jalen
Brunson's
the point guard that they need. They have, again, they have good bench depth.
How are you containing Giannis, though?
You don't have to contain Giannis. You let him score and could shut down everyone else. Chris Middleton's not 100%.
Yeah, I would still trust Giannis over the Knicks to go get four.
We're talking
wins.
About a dark horse, right? So we're talking about, you know, an upset going down, either the Celtics or the Bucks, most likely. So it's like we're picking teams out there, and someone has to beat the Bucks. Like, it could be the Knicks.
By the way, what the heck happened yesterday? Slick Reynolds usually hates you. He goes after you all the time. He's now saying, I'm being a little hard on you, because you're coming off a stellar fill-in show from last night. What kind of radio
Slick
magic did you work?
Slick was liking what I had to say yesterday. I couldn't believe it.
First time for everything.
I guess so.
I wouldn't warm up to Slick. I feel like he'll stab you in the back. He's just trying to get you close, and then he's going to stab you in the back.
Well, when the Colts make their draft pick in a few weeks, I'm sure he'll be laughing at whoever it is. He loves the Colts pain that it brings me. So
now, let me be clear.
He's buttering me up.
I'm not the one that's advocating for you to be suspended here at CBS Sports Radio. So it's not me being tough on you. It's just I have a decision to make. And we'll play the audio later, and I got to make a decision on the air if I'm going to suspend you or not.
I have not heard this audio. I don't know why I'm being suspended, to be honest. Okay. I guess I'm facing the judge. I am looking at the judge of my fate
judge,
of the
jury,
next few
and
weeks.
Executioner.
All right, Roger Goodell in the flesh here.
Yeah. And I will actually take ownership for the decision, good or bad, unlike the commissioner who tries to blame it on everybody else.
or fires people that question him.
Yeah, that is true. It's the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. And I got to be unbiased here. So I'm not leaning one way or another right now. I am 50% right in the middle right now. That's where I'm at. And I can lean to the left. I can lean to the right.
Do I get to state my or defend my case?
Oh, absolutely.
Okay. Okay. I wasn't sure if this was, you know, a quiet court hearing.
The way that this is going to work is we will play the infraction. Then
the infraction.
We will play the reasoning from another show here on CBS Sports Radio, cough, cough, the DA show, why they want you suspended. I will then let you state your case. I don't think I need to call Spike or David because they're already aware of this.
Jeez. How is everyone in the loop but me, by the way?
That's what happens when you get brought up on charges.
Jeez.
Sometimes the FBI just shows up to your door and then boom.
Knock, knock.
Then you're going to the slammer. And we'll maybe do some fingerprinting, maybe take a mugshot as well.
No mugshots here, okay? And if you're going to do a mugshot, please provide one that's past 2012. I'd appreciate that.
What do you mean?
Well, the last picture that was posted to me was from my high school
that's
days.
That's not from me.
So, you know, if we're going to be taking pictures here and posting pictures.
You know, Big Bob is informed that there is a space right next to him in the slammer. I told him Hickey may be available, so I'll have to wait and see what happens and what goes down. But you're going to have a chance to state your case, and then I got a decision to make later on if I'm going to suspend you or not. So I'm actually in a good mood today. That's good for you. I'm not in a crummy mood.
Good mood to put people away or in a good mood in general? I don't, you know.
No. I mean, like, I'm in a good mood. I'm going to be compelled to hear your case. It's not like I just wake up in a crummy mood and it's like, all right, just get me out of here. Get me to 10 o'clock and whatever comes my way, I'm just going to quickly then come up with the punishment and then take care of you. So I think you got a good chance today, but we'll have to wait and see because there's a lot of evidence that's being brought upon here and a lot of valid claims that are being brought up as well. It is the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio.
You're listening to the Zach Gelb Show.
Woohoo! Zach Gelb Show, CBS Sports Radio. Hickey, I got a big Saturday coming up this weekend. Big Saturday. So I was supposed to go to Mets opening day, the home opener today. And last night, as I was trying to enjoy Passover Seder, I got an alert that the Mets game is canceled because of rain in the forecast. Now, it wasn't supposed to rain until 3 or 4 o'clock, and then you wake up, the game start at 1. Now, with the pitch clock, you would think you'd be able to get a game done in time, but they made the call last night, which a lot of times, how many times as a baseball fan do you bitch and complain? You knew there was going to be a rain out, and then you let all the fans in the stadium pay for parking, get a beer, get a hot dog, all that stuff. But it was not a lock that this game was going to get rained out. And bare minimum, you were definitely going to be able to start this game on time. And I know that most of these teams, when you have the home opener or opening day, they usually make the next day as a day off because it's a highly coveted ticket. And then you would always have that next day as the potential makeup date. So last night, the Mets called the game. And then today, I didn't see any rain, you know, in the Queens area, I think until like 6 o'clock. So they would have definitely got, and it was drizzling too. So they definitely would have got that game in. And a similar thing happened in Philadelphia where they called it last night as well. And then today it was supposedly like a gorgeous day in Philadelphia because Johnny Marks was telling me that. So here's what I did. I was not paying for my opening day tickets. So the person that gave me the tickets, And it's a season ticket plan through the company. I said, give the tickets for tomorrow because we have a few things scheduled during the day that we got to do for the show. I go, give the tickets to someone else. I want to get tickets to Saturday because Kodai Senga is pitching compared to Tyler McGill. Tyler McGill, who I'm okay with seeing because I'd rather see Kodai Senga, especially after his first start. So that's leg one. That's the first part of my busy Saturday. And correct me if I'm wrong here. Are you going to be at the game as well on Saturday?
Yes, sir.
Because I did offer, if you wanted to go yesterday, or what would be the game for today, for Friday, I said, would you want the tickets? And you're like, I can't go, blah, 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 blah. So you are going Saturday as well. Who are you going with?
Actually, like a hodgepodge of like three different friend groups combined. Yeah, my girlfriend wants to go. Her brother wants to go. One of my friends from another friend group wants to go. Another friend from a friend group wants to go. My sister wants to go.
Do you know where you're sitting?
Yes, all the way up.
Oh, all the way up.
All the way up, upper deck.
So I'm in the outfield. But there's been a lot of times where Hickey's been at the same event as me, or if I've offered to take him places and he's big time me, we'll be meeting up on Saturday afternoon for a little beer at the game. Or are you going to big time me because you're with all your friends?
How am I big timing you? It's the other way around.
I'm just asking. No, no,
you'd
no.
You be the one big timing
That's
me.
I'm saying let's meet up for a beer at the game.
Okay,
there's been
let's
a lot
do
of
it.
Times where I've said, oh, come to this Ranger game. Go to this game with me. And it's like, oh, I'm busy. Oh, I can't do it. Oh, I got this. Oh, I got that. And it just makes me wonder, you know, maybe Hickey doesn't want to hang out with me outside the office.
I'm a busy man. I would love to go to Mets opening day. I love it. It's the best day of the year.
Okay. So
but
you're just busy. All right.
So legitimately
we'll
busy.
See. We'll see. Saturday, okay. I have already extended the invitation. So now it's up to you to get in contact with me Saturday. Hey, I'm here. Let's go get a beer, blah, 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 blah. And we'll see if that actually happens. I think I'm going to get a text after the game. Oh, I totally forgot. I'm so sorry. Girlfriend wanted to try this stand before the game and
that jazz. She's on her own.
What do you mean?
She's on her own.
Well, you know what I just thought of?
Well, the game's going fast, so I'm not waiting two innings for, you know.
You can't leave your seat
chicken
now
finger
during
basket.
during a baseball game.
No. Oh, no. It's express time. Get that food before the game.
You got to get that food before the game. And also, I think I saw it in Yankee Stadium. They have Uber Eats now. Now, I've seen Uber Eats before in the stadium in Milwaukee where when I went to the Bucks game last year, I think it was, or whenever I went there. And you could Uber Eats order your food in the stadium, and then there's an Uber Eats pickup section. That's where it was in Milwaukee, so it says your food's ready. You go right there, you grab your food, and then you go right back to your seats. Now, I would think, and I know there's some waiter and waitress service inside the stadiums, you know, around our country, but I would imagine that Uber Eats is probably going to get into more stadiums and just directly bring the food right to your seat, too, especially in a baseball game now, where if you get up and you have to wait in a long line, you could legitimately miss now like two innings or at least an inning and a half.
If Sean Marash was telling the truth on Twitter, sometimes you got to take it with a grain of salt.
What did he say?
At the Yankee game the other day, he missed two innings.
Wow.
Waiting for chicken fingers. So, again, you take it with a grain of salt. Was it really two innings? It was like a half an inning. But I think he has a point overall. With the game moving faster, that line, all of a sudden you think, okay, I missed a little bit of time. It's like almost now bare minimum an inning.
Also, Mraz, not the quickest on his feet, even though he claims to be an athlete. Maybe that was him taking a while to waddle over to the chicken stand.
But even if that's the case now, everything you do, you're going to miss more and more game time.
You're
Uber
right.
Eats is a genius. And also, too, for the stadiums. You think you would serve more food if it's just like, as you know, you avoid people standing in long lines and it's just, okay, boom, pick it up. Here's, you know, beat me here, boom.
And I think they cut off beer in the seventh inning at baseball games.
Yes.
That's a problem now with how quickly these games go.
It's like an hour and a half.
You got to like double fist if you're trying to get drunk at one of these games.
That's a big issue.
And so that's the first part of my Saturday. And I told you I've become a bigger UFC fan ever since I attended in November. I'm not going to Miami. I did look into with a friend going to Miami just with it being Easter this weekend. Trying to get on a plane and go anywhere on Easter weekend is just way too much money. It was ridiculous. But we were thinking about going down to Miami for UFC 287, but that's not going to happen. But how about this? I saw Alex Pereira and Israel Adesanya fight back at Madison Square Garden in November. They're already having their rematch this weekend, which I thought was quick. And Gilbert Burns is going up against Jorge Masvidal. And then I think it was UFC 282 I saw this youngster who's going to be a stud, Raul Rojas Jr., and he like knocked someone out or had someone submit in under 3 minutes in that opening round, in that first round. He's going up against Christian Rodriguez coming up on Saturday night. So I'm going to the Mets game Saturday, see Kodai Senga in action. Let's go. Let's hope the Mets turn it around. And then Saturday night, I'm going right to my couch, and I'm going to order up UFC 287. So it's going to be a fun little Saturday, and we'll see what else happens this weekend.
Got to watch out for my guy Bo Nickel now going forward. Former Penn State wrestler is a new latest hot item on the UFC.
You guys close?
No.
Oh.
But I did see him. I know I worked a few wrestling meets.
When you say my boy, I'm like, okay.
He's a Penn State guy. That's Annie Ola.
You know, he's not the steamroller, Matt Frivola, who, by the way, is getting another fight.
Okay.
He's getting another big fight.
That's
going to be at the Prudential Center, which I'm annoyed about because that is Cinco de Mayo weekend. and I have a wedding in Philadelphia.
Oh.
So I was supposed to, I was going to go to the fight, see our boy Matt the Steamroller Frivola. He even DM'd me, said, you guys coming out to the fight?
Wow. Oh, that's And I that's had to tell him
I got a wedding.
Oh, man.
But I said, we'll probably get you on the show before then, because I like the Steamroller. That's a great chant. You go into the octagon, everyone's like, Steamroller! I think that's absolutely awesome. So I'm pumped up for this weekend. And you know what's crazy? I'm more pumped up about the UFC than I am Mets game. 162 of them. And the way that they're playing lately, this is a big card. Big card. I saw Dana White say today that he'll definitely be back in Miami, because outside of Las Vegas, I think recently, the latest fight in Las Vegas in the Madison Square Garden back in November, that this was the most popular and bumping ticket. You know who was at the press conference today? I don't know what he was doing there.
Pitbull.
No, Deion Dawkins was at the press conference.
Oh, okay.
I got to ask Deion what he was doing at the press conference. I don't know if he's doing some media work now. I saw he was on the NFL Network for the Combine. Maybe he's doing more media work. Maybe it's
fighting.
No.
It's like, you know, some off-season training.
No, I think the Bills would have a problem with that in his contract. That would just
I would probably agree, but also I don't know many people that would beat him up either.
Well, maybe if you end up getting suspended, you can get out of your suspension if you just go in the octagon and we'll have you fight up against like Ike Feldman, who used to work here.
Here's a hot take for you. I would not be like Shep and then claim I could win.
Yeah.
I'm not going to be like Shep and say I could beat up Mike Tyson or even beat up Ike Feldman, maybe actually. He's the only skinnier here than me. But.
You know he fights, though. He combat fights. You have no shot. He would destroy you.
I'm not claiming I'm going into the octagon and beating anybody.
He has like a six-pack. He's jacked.
Having a six-pack.
But he's jacked. Ike Feldman is in... You're not in bad shape. Ike Feldman would run circles around you. He would kick your ass. There's no doubt about it.
I haven't seen Ike in a while, maybe. I'm not saying you're
wrong. You look at him, he looks like a regular Joe.
I'm not saying that I would beat him up. That's all I'm saying. Again, I'm not going to be a Shep here and claiming things I can do that are physically impossible.
It's the dumbest take, by the way, from any producer in the history of CBS Sports Radio. Shep thinking he could survive a fight up against Mike Tyson.
I can't lie. I did have a thought today when Tiger Woods bogeyed like the first three holes.
Oh, you're an idiot.
No, I didn't say I could beat Tiger Woods. I was curious, like, who's the worst golfer right now that could beat Tiger Woods? Like, how many strokes would you need to beat Tiger?
Oh, that I don't know. But if you were going to say,
I was not sitting there.
You could beat Tiger on one hole, I would say you have no shot.
No, but it did make me think back to Shep beating, you know, Mike Tyson, but brought back some good memories of that.
All right, it is the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. We'll take a time out when we come on back. A bad, 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 bad look for the Baltimore Ravens.
You're listening to the Zach Gelb Show.
Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. Hickey, two things that I want to run by you real quickly. There has been 2,220 games at Coors Field. This is via Talkin' Baseball. Today, the Rockies won the game 1-0. How many 1-0 games at Coors Field in Colorado out of the 2,220 ended up being 1-0 games?
I will say 5 total.
Wow, you would have guessed that low? And I know we always think Coors Field, a lot of runs, a lot of offense, all that. You only think 5 out of over 2,000, over 2,200 games?
Yes.
Wow.
Is it less than that?
It is more.
Wow.
11. The Rockies won 1-0 today. It's the 11th 1-0 score ever at Coors Field in 2,220 games via Talkin' Baseball.
Now, you put that in context. That's over like 20 years worth of games played at Coors Field. Like
that's
11 1-0 games is like 1 every 2 years, basically. That's kind of crazy. It's still very little.
And Chicken Parm Lou, as they call him in digital, he says that the game was played in 2 hours and 18 minutes at Coors Field. Talk about the pitch clock.
You see what Sandy Alcantara, or Alcantara, however you say his last name, you see what he did the other day?
No.
Shutout. 1 hour, 59 minutes.
Oh!
1 hour, complete game. Shutout. 1 hour, 59. I mean, you barely get in your seat if you're the, not there's a lot of many Marlins fans there anyway, but barely sit down, boom, game's over.
Now, let me ask you this. If there's a perfect game in baseball this year, how long do you think it's going to be?
2 hours, 24 minutes. Is okay. My official guess.
Gotcha. And also I saw from Talkin' Baseball, are you familiar with Corbin Carroll? He's the young prospect for the Arizona Diamondbacks who I saw hit a home run the other night.
Heard of his name.
Okay. What do you think of this move? Now, I don't know if his parents worked for the team or not. I'm going to assume no. But they draft up their son for the home opener tonight at the Diamondbacks game. Like, before the game, they dropped him off. If you're a Major League Baseball player, I assume his parents don't work for the team. Different, they have to, like, go into work for, and, you know, you're just carpooling together. Don't you got to kind of find your own way to the stadium? Not have mom and dad drop you off? Like, it's sweet, nice, oh, okay. Good picture, nice, wholesome moment. Let me ask you this. You're a Major League Baseball player, Hickey. In your first 4 or 5 games, whatever it is of your career. And your dad calls you up. Ma calls you up. They go, we want to pick you up and take you to your first home game. What's your response to them?
I mean, I guess if he's living with them. Like,
I'm assuming he's living with them.
Probably doesn't have time yet. If this is the first home game, you haven't had time yet. Maybe get a apartment to yourself or a house for yourself.
Well, you don't
if
know
I'm living season. With my parents for the first, let's say, week of the home season, sure, you can drop me off.
Yeah, I think I'm taking an Uber. Or I think I'm renting a car or something like that. That's what I think I'm doing. I'm no offense. I'd say, Ma, Dad, here are the tickets. Come to the game. Come watch me play in Arizona. But you're not driving me to the stadium. And I don't think it's just because it would be, I don't want to say a bad look, your parents dropping you off like it's the first day of school. But I would think when I go into the ballpark, I don't need mom and dad just asking me questions that mom and dad usually ask.
What would they ask you? You're making your debut. Like, are you nervous?
Yeah, the stuff like that.
Are you excited?
I just
do you think you'll get a hit?
Yeah, that's annoying. I'm playing music, driving to the stadium, my own routine. Even if I have to say, hey, mom, dad, I need your car. Drive to the stadium and show up as you're a professional or something like that.
I feel like knowing you get criticized, it takes a lot of confidence to do that.
Well,
there's cameras now everywhere.
Well, here's the thing.
You know someone's going to see you getting out of the car.
I don't think many people are going to criticize him. Like, what are we really criticizing him about? Like, even though I wouldn't do it. But there's a nice photo of him hugging his mom, dad looking on. And I think most of the comments right now are positive.
Well, if you look on Twitter, you know.
One says that's the most wholesome thing I've seen all
week.
Wow,
look at that. Even Twitter's a soft spot for
crying
mom and dad
emoji.
Dropping kid off at the first day.
Yeah.
First day of work.
No, there's a lot of things going on that I think is positive. I haven't seen one negative thing about this yet.
Good for Corbin.
Yeah. I'm looking. I hope they left him a note in his lunchbox. That's pretty funny. Okay, here comes the negatives. LOL, loser can't drive. Then Few makes a comment about how good looking his mother is and things like that as well.
Well,
so.
Of course. That's Twitter for you, right?
Well, let's see how old he is. Because I think he was drafted in like 2019. Wow. When do you think he was born? This is really humbling.
1999.
2000. He's 22 years old. They moved to Louisiana at the age of 6, according to Wikipedia, which is always a very, 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 very reliable source. Now, as a 2019 Major League Baseball draft pick, what do you think, what do you sign for, if you had to take a guess?
Total, like, $4
million? $3.7 million. You get a car. You drive to the stadium, basically.
Well, I mean, if he's in the, you know, if you don't know if you're going to make the big club or not, you're not going to buy a car.
He signed an extension. He's one of those youngsters that got the extension pretty damn quickly. He signed an 8-year extension on March 11th for $111 million. You're making $111 million. You gotta drive to the stadium yourself.
Maybe if you know you're going to make the team, yeah, maybe start looking on, you know.
I played 30-something games for them last year.
Look on the website, you know,
so you
some
know
rental websites and get a place.
You know you're making the team if you're that highly coveted of a prospect. And I know there's always ways that teams try to, mess around with the CBA. Like Vaughn Grissom, by the way, who played last year and then all of a sudden didn't make the Braves roster out of camp because they were working on his defense. So, yeah, I think it's a nice moment, but personally, I think I'd want to go to the stadium by myself. I don't know if there's maybe something more to it or anything like that. I'm just seeing this for the first time on Twitter. I don't know if I would want mom and dad driving me to the stadium.
Probably meant a lot to them, though. So, you know, I would do that for my parents if they were excited to drop me off, sure.
Yeah.
You get the thrill. You get the excitement. I'll let you soak in my moment, too.
All right. You're being a kiss ass. That's fine.
Being a good son.
Trying to increase your portion of the wealth. That's what you're trying to do.
Hey, any bit helps. Gotta do what you gotta do.
Especially with, I'm sure, the way that your parents view your sister compared to you and your family. Sources tell me they're big fans of the sister over you.
Well, I mean, how could they hate it? The Howard
Colleen,
Stern of
right?
the family.
Isn't that your sister's name, Colleen?
Yes.
Yeah. I hear they're not so happy with Ryan these days. Colleen, 80% of the will so far. Only 20 for you. Zach Gelb Show, CBS Sports Radio. We'll talk about the Ravens next.